Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court will release one or more rulings today. Some observers taking that as a sign the justices could rule on Donald Trump's eligibility to be on Colorado's primary ballot. That state's primary is tomorrow.
The expectation is that the high court will issue its opinion in the Colorado case that found Trump was barred from the ballot as an insurrectionist. The timing makes sense because as a huge number of citizens go to the polls the next day to vote in several Super Tuesday primaries, the Supreme Court likely wants the electorate to be aware of its decision.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks. Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer announced agreement on a package of six funding bills to prevent a government shutdown at week's end. Three passengers aboard an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 that suffered an in-flight door plug blowout are suing the carrier and Boeing, seeking $1 billion in damages. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers vetoed a major portion of over $2 billion in tax cuts from Republicans on Friday. The vetoed bills would have given tax breaks to people earning up to $150,000 a year, exempted some of retirees' income, and expanded tax credits for married tax filers. Evers said that the bills would have threatened the state's long-term fiscal health had they become law. Republicans blasted Evers for the veto, saying the tax cuts would have helped middle-class families and seniors. Some changes may be coming to Wisconsin's Office of School Safety if it doesn't get more money. Attorney General Josh Call is asking lawmakers for more money for the office's 24/7 tip line. Federal money is keeping it open for the rest of the year. Call's plan would use money the state gets from concealed carry permits after that. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Pack is back from the Combine. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers front office back from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. GM Brian Gutekunst, CEO Mark Murphy, and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia were there. A report says the team's still trying to restructure Aaron Jones' contract, but that running back A.J. Dillon will not return and is likely headed to free agency. Badgers running back Braylon Allen was there. I asked him how his interview with the Packers went.
It went very well. I enjoyed talking with them. I liked everybody on the staff. It was a really good meeting. Just broke down some film. They asked me some, you know, kind of football IQ questions about fronts, pressures, different defenses, things like that.
Baseball spring training, the Brewers with a 10-4 win over the Diamondbacks. NBA, despite a loss to the Nuggets, the Lakers' LeBron James becoming the first player ever to reach 40,000 career points. The Bucks spent Sunday working on their defense, their first practice at home in over a month.
We managed to figure everything out eventually.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports on Mike Clemens.
Hi, I'm Maggie Don, host of the Maggie Don Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Slecker.
And this is Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
Friday, best of the week, trending education news.
Busted pencils every weekday at 7 p.m.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high of 46 this afternoon and some scattered rain developing this afternoon and continuing into this evening. We could get 1 to 2/10 of an inch of rain by the time it winds down. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clearing 26. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high back to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, surprise again, Wisconsin weather taking a turn. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Youngke on the radio. Yeah, if you hadn't already felt it this morning, temperatures substantially different than what we experienced yesterday. And we're going to get wet. It's not going to be lumpy wet like they've experienced in California, but we are going to pick up some rain today. Chance of rain about 80%. Rain showers probably early today, then thunderstorms in the afternoon. They're telling me right now that there is only a marginal risk for severe weather. We'll find out what that means. We're talking with Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, in about 15 minutes. Today's daytime highs around 53 degrees, but the winds will be gusting out of the northeast, 10 to 20 miles an hour. For tomorrow, cloudy skies, 50 degrees. Wednesday, partly cloudy and 53. Clouds on Thursday, 54. But it doesn't look like we've got another chance of rain in the forecast until Friday. Like I said, Stu's got more weather details coming up. Big emphasis this morning on the announcement Friday of our six finalists that want to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. I was up in Door County when they introduced the six to us, and I had a chance to visit with Ashley Hagenow, who is our current Alice in Dairyland. How does it feel to see your successors standing in the room? She's going to tell me about it coming up. We're also focused in on what's going on with the World Champion Cheese Contest. It's at the Monona Terrace Convention Center, starting bright and shiny tomorrow morning. In fact, Bob Bosold is going to talk with one of the judges involved in that next.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast. Innovation, that's
BioVet. Every 2 years in March, the Monona Terrace Convention Center in downtown Madison, that's just down the road from the southern end of the world's longest barn, becomes the cheese capital of the world. That's because the World Cheese Championship's coming to Madison again March 5th through the 7th. The chief judge is Jim Miller. And Jim is in Wisconsin, but you got heritage. You have family that comes from cheese-making countries, don't you, Jim?
Yes, I do. Switzerland.
Tell us about that.
My dad immigrated from Switzerland back in the 1930s. Actually, he didn't start out making cheese initially. He had to go through Ellis Island, and then he went out to Sacramento, California, worked on a farm as a farm laborer. And, of course, he could not speak English, so that gave him a chance to kind of learn the language. And then he had some relatives down in the Monroe, Wisconsin area, southern Wisconsin, that were cheesemakers, Swiss cheesemakers. And then he, about a year after being in Sacramento, he moved back to Wisconsin. And just the rest of his history, he started making cheese with my uncles, and then he took over a couple cheese plants of his own and retired in the early 1970s.
And you followed in his footsteps.
I like to say I've been connected to the industry since I was 10 years old because I worked in the family-run Swiss cheese operation. I actually worked with my brothers and dad, and making and grading cheese. And over my career, though, I went to college, and we had to work 7 days a week, and I thought there had to be something better in life than that, but they found out there really was not. So once I got out of school, I went to work for Kraft, and I basically learned the art of processed cheese, natural cheese, and I worked for several different companies with processed and natural cheese, and I retired approximately 10 years ago. So I like to say I'm semi-retired right now because I still continue to stay active doing some grading, and I volunteer with the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association on their contest leadership team as a chief judge.
How do you get to be the chief judge?
For judges, just as a whole, what we look for is that you need to have passion for cheese and dairy products. I mean, you got to love it. Not like it, but you got to love it. Then you need to have the ability to perceive some basic flavors such as sweet, salt, acid, and bitter. And then thirdly, we like to see people have technical knowledge of different cheese varieties. Then what we like to see is that you hone your skills through education, plus just what I call a school of hard knocks, where you're actually out there grading cheese with a company. So we like to see at least 5 to 7 years of experience and being mentored by an experienced cheese grader. But I started judging at the contest in 2006. And then in 2012, I was an assistant chief judge. And then 2019, I was asked to be the chief judge. So I've been involved with the contest as a chief judge since 2019.
Where do these judges come from? Because, and again, we've got cheese, butter, yogurt coming from all over the world. This truly is a world competition.
So we're going to be judging down in Madison from March 5th through the 7th, cheese, butter, yogurt, and dried dairy ingredients, covering 142 different classes, so different varieties. We have 3,302 entries, and they're from 25 countries and 33 U.S. states. So it's truly a world contest. Of those entries, the bulk are cheese. That's why we call it a cheese contest. 3,036 are cheese entries. We got 93 butter entries. We have 73 yogurt entries and 100 dry dairy ingredient entries. So we have 54 judges from 19 countries and 11 U.S. states going to be judging during this contest.
Do they apply to be judges, or do you seek them out based on their reputation and their past work?
Okay, a little bit of both. They apply, and then when we hear someone that is recommended through someone else, or, you know, I work with a lot of cheese graters and get recommendations, and some of our other fellow red hats do as well. They'll make recommendations, and then we'll make some phone calls, see if they're interested. We have a profile that they have to fill out, kind of a resume, and then from that, we'll determine whether or not we are going to bring them into one of our contests.
What are the judging standards that you use? We know we have Codex standards, international cheesemaking standards, but what kind of a set of standards do the judges follow when they're evaluating the cheese, the yogurt, the butter, and the dairy ingredients?
Typically, we have a combination of FDA requirements and USDA standards. So those are our standards that we follow. So of 142 classes, they're not, some of them aren't all within the standard identity. We have what we call open classes as well, where cheesemakers start to get creative with their make. So this allows them to also enter cheese into our contest, in addition to, like, you know, the cheddars are certainly a USDA standards, mozzarella, you got Swiss, and you got your American-style cheeses like Monterey Jack and Colby. Those all come under a USDA standards. Our judges need to be well-versed within those standards to judge those. But then when we get into some of these open classes, those are sometimes cheeses that are creative, and they get creative with flavor and texture and body and that type of thing. And so we have creative open classes, or open hard class, open semi-soft class, and open soft class. And then the judges got to use their years of experience in order to be able to evaluate that product based upon what they've seen in the past. And we do ask the entries to provide a kind of a narrative of their product as well, so that we can grade against their narrative.
That's Jim Miller, the chief judge at the upcoming World Cheese Championships at the Monona Terrace in Madison. He'll be one of the 50-plus judges wearing the red hats at the competition. And again, don't forget, the first 2 days, it's free and open to the public. Find out why Wisconsin is truly a cheese capital of the world. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosol.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You told me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alma Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Hopefully something we're all paying more attention to these days, whether it's because of the erratic patterns that we're enjoying right now, or whether it's the long-term question mark about availability of things like water. Dairy producers want to stay involved in the conversation, and now the professional dairy producers of Wisconsin are putting together a new initiative to try to help bring all the data that the average dairy farm generates on their farm together with science and investors that need those sustainability credits to offset their own carbon footprint. Shelley Meyer, Executive Director of the Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, explains.
We have been working to help connect dairy producers with the opportunity to know specifically on their farm and to learn about what is their footprint. And we think this is really important. Our first two sponsors on it are Dairies Foundation and Nestle. But the number that the farmer gleans from this experience is solely up to the farmer. It's completely confidential once the farmer receives this information. It gives us, as a dairy community, to be empowered to not just be part of the sustainability discussion, but to take a lead on it.
Shelley Meyer, Executive Director, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, which are having their annual meeting coming up mid-month, and you know they'll be talking about this. She said sustainability is part of the conversation on a lot of dairy farms across Wisconsin. The question has always been, how can we monetize it?
As a fellow dairy farmer, and I've been privileged my entire career to work for fellow dairy farmers, I see it every day, and I believe it to my very core, that there's nobody more sustainable on this planet than the U.S. dairy farmer. And this is an opportunity for us to have that statistic, that number, that we can share in our sustainability story, but also to take home and really hone and continue to manage and work and improve like we have all of the other numbers that we work with every single day, if it's herd data or if it's our financial numbers, or especially look what we've done with our herds and herd improvement over the years. It's because we knew a number and because we're good at our craft. So now we have an opportunity to even hone it and be better.
Shelley Meyer, Executive Director, Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin. Like she said, Dairies Foundation and Nestle, the two sponsors of the early initiative. You'll be able to find out more during their annual meeting, and that's coming up again, like I said, mid-March, Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, March 13th and 14th. Well, let's pivot now and talk a little bit about that weather that Shelley was alluding to. Dairy farmers want to know how to manage it, how they can get monetized value back for working around it. Stumach is working in it. Time for a Compeer Financial Ag weather update. Thank you very much for the picture of the posy this weekend. Stu sent me a picture. What kind of flower was it?
As the crocuses came up on the southwest side of the house, happened to look out on the 1st of March, and there they were, about 4 inches tall and a nice light purple, just pretty as can be.
Oh, it was a surprise yesterday, quite honestly. I was coming back from Green Bay listening to the Brewers, and I heard them make mention that in Scottsdale, Arizona, they were enjoying a sunny 67 or 68 degrees. I looked at my truck thermometer, and Madison area was 71 late yesterday afternoon. You don't get that much during spring training.
No, not where we're better off than Scottsdale, that's for sure. Records were set yesterday here and there. 73, a record high in Madison. 74 at La Crosse. Milwaukee staying a little cooler because of the lake, of course, the east side of the state. Dealing with that here as of late, that stays cooler in eastern Wisconsin because of that lake, as well as in the far northwest. Now, we have to talk of a frontal boundary that's been kind of guiding on into Wisconsin today. There's some very light snow in the northwest. I mean, we're talking up at Barron County in that area, further up in the northwest. But there is a little snow, some of that sliding across parts of southern Minnesota, northwest Iowa. There's rain in central Iowa this morning, and there is a front that is going to drop right on into and through Wisconsin by later today and tonight. I expect that's going to mean some rain, showers, and there could be a thunderstorm or two here and there. Maybe a more likelihood of a thunderstorm in far southern Wisconsin, but that rain chance will build in here a little later today, last into the nighttime. Overall, I think any of us could see somewhere in that quarter to three-quarter inch range of rainfall. Make sure that rain gauge is cleaned out as you be able to measure it then for later today and on through the nighttime. We dry it out already by Tuesday and Wednesday. Not quite so mild. We're not going to be in the 70s. In fact, behind this cool front that builds through from the northwest, those temperatures will be staying a little cooler. Oh, still well above normal for this time of the year, but cooler than we saw yesterday or even today. So a little bit cooler heading toward midweek, staying drier. And I'd say toward Friday, another chance of a little rain could redevelop. More moisture on the way. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Compeer Financial, we provide services based on your needs. So whether it's ag lending, crop insurance, or other financial services, or you're seeking industry expertise from a trusted advisor, we're here as a partner and member of your community that is defined by you. Contact your local Compeer Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Well, whether it's the crocus or whatever's outside, yesterday was wonderful. Today might be a bit of a shock, huh, Stu?
A little shock with some rainfall and temps that stay a little cooler, absolutely. I expect here in our Compeer Financial Ag weather forecast is that skies will become more cloudy and there will be some rain. There could even be a thunderstorm as we make our way on toward mid or late afternoon. Now I expect to see temps today still in the upper 50s or a few low 60s here and there. And the north winds about 5 to 10 could gust a bit more in the afternoon. Cloudy skies, showers, possibly a thunderstorm yet in the evening or early part of the nighttime, if you will. We fall back into the mid-30s, the north winds 5 to 15, and I mentioned late today and tonight in the quarter to three-quarter inch range for rainfall. On toward Tuesday morning clouds, more sun later in the day, and definitely cooler, low 50s, very low 50s, with the northeast winds 5 to 15, and mostly sunny Wednesday, still some low 50s, 52, 53 here and there, east winds 5 to 15, and Pam, then that next chance of rain tries to edge in already by Friday.
How much severe weather? I mean, remember, this is a state that saw a tornado in February. Where's going to be the hot spots to watch out for severe weather?
be southern Wisconsin, and I just, you know, if we get a good thunderstorm, maybe some strong winds locally, that should be about the extent, but you can't say not, you know?
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, we'll catch up with you tomorrow and dissect it again, all right?
All right. We'll see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Don't forget about that. You can find their resources and offices near you. Jump online, compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue-maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. The Supreme Court will release one or more rulings today. Some observers taking that as a sign the justices could rule on Donald Trump's eligibility to be on Colorado's primary ballot. That state's primary is tomorrow.
The expectation is that the High Court will issue its opinion in the Colorado case that found Trump was barred from the ballot as an insurrectionist. The timing makes sense because as a huge number of citizens go to the polls the next day to vote in several Super Tuesday primaries, the Supreme Court likely wants the electorate to be aware of its decision.
ABC News legal analyst Royal Oaks. Senate Majority Leader Charles Schumer announced agreement on a package of six funding bills to prevent a government shutdown at week's end. Three passengers aboard an Alaska Airlines Boeing 737 that suffered an in-flight door plug blowout are suing the carrier and Boeing, seeking $1 billion in damages. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers vetoed a major portion of over $2 billion in tax cuts from Republicans on Friday. The vetoed bills would have given tax breaks to people earning up to $150,000 a year, exempted some of retirees' income, and expanded tax credits for married tax filers. Evers said that the bills would have threatened the state's long-term fiscal health had they become law. Republicans blasted Evers for the veto, saying the tax cuts would have helped middle-class families and seniors. Some changes may be coming to Wisconsin's Office of School Safety if it doesn't get more money. Attorney General Josh Call is asking lawmakers for more money for the office's 24/7 tip line. Federal money is keeping it open for the rest of the year. Call's plan would use money the state gets from concealed carry permits after that. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
The Pack is back from the Combine. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers front office back from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. GM Brian Gutekunst, CEO Mark Murphy, and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia were there. A report says the team's still trying to restructure Aaron Jones' contract, but that running back A.J. Dillon will not return and is likely headed to free agency. Badgers running back Braylon Allen was there. I asked him how his interview with the Packers went.
It went very well. I enjoyed talking with them. I liked everybody on the staff. It was a really good meeting. Just broke down some film. They asked me some, kind of football IQ questions about fronts, pressures, different defenses, things like that.
Baseball spring training, the Brewers with a 10-4 win over the Diamondbacks. NBA, despite a loss to the Nuggets, the Lakers' LeBron James becoming the first player ever to reach 40,000 career points. The Bucks spent Sunday working on their defense, their first practice at home in over a month.
We managed to figure everything out eventually.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high of 46 this afternoon and some scattered rain developing this afternoon and continuing into this evening. We could get 1 to 2 tenths of an inch of rain by the time it winds down. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clearing 26. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high back to near 50. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 34.
Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here, bringing you the Midwest Farm Report live weekday mornings on WLAK. This isn't just for farmers, people. It's for anybody that enjoys food. Tune in 5 a.m. on Lake Air 1260 WLAK Amory.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Lake Air 107.5 FM and 1260 AM WLAK. And on the Civic Media app. Matinair on Air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now, is to take a Kringle and go away?
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the punching bag or the patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the punching bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll, of course, present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
To get that money.
Now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
You bet she thinks your tractor's sexy. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Well, definitely a change as far as temperatures are concerned around Wisconsin today. Nothing like what those folks are dealing with in California, though, huh? Morning again, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. Glad you're along with us. For today, we are going to expect some thunderstorms around Wisconsin. They tell me there is just a marginal risk of severe weather, so kind of keep your ears open to that. Daytime highs today, right around 54 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 50 degrees. Wednesday, 53 is what we're expecting. So today is the fourth day of March. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1789, the U.S. Constitution actually was put into effect. The law is one of the world's oldest constitutions still in use. The oldest, in case you didn't know, the Constitution of San Marino, which was started in 1600, but the U.S. Constitution put into effect on this day in 1789. On this day in 1918, the first documented cases of the Spanish flu were announced. That turned into a deadly worldwide pandemic that claimed the lives of over 25 million. Spanish flu epidemic on this date started back in 1918. On this day in 2007, the world's first national internet election was held. No, it was not the United States. It was not probably anywhere you'd think. Estonia was the very first country to allow its citizens to vote in a parliamentary election through the World Wide Web. Happened on this date in 2007. And now you know. Well, we know the identity of the six finalists that want to become Wisconsin's next agriculture ambassador. Here they are. Sierra Essick from Fox Lake, an agriculture instructor at Hustisford Junior and Senior High School currently. Haley Heinzel from Oconomowoc. She's currently a senior at UW-Madison studying life sciences communication. Katrina Hosley from Denmark. She's a student at UW-River Falls going after a Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Marketing Communications and Agriculture Business. Michaela King is from Big Bend. She grew up on a beef and crop operation in southwestern Wisconsin and is a graduate at the University of Minnesota, where she studied journalism and photography with a minor in management. Kylie Pagel from Kewaunee is a May graduate from UW-Green Bay with a bachelor's degree in business administration. And Lauren Seemers from Kiel will graduate in May from UW-Oshkosh with a degree in marketing. Now, if you want to see a little biography snippet on each of those six candidates, pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. In the Farm News tabs, you'll see that update. And I will be introducing you to each of those candidates individually over the course of the next few weeks. Remember, the Alice in Dairyland Finals, where they go through the last stages of interviews, May 2nd through the 4th in Door County. And while those young women are very excited about their prospects of becoming Wisconsin's 76th Alice in Dairyland, let's not forget about the girl that's in the big shoes right now. That's Ashley Hagenow. She is continuing with a smile on her face, although she admits it's a little bittersweet.
It is bittersweet. It's wild to me to think that just about a year ago, I was in the shoes of our top candidates here today, going through the experience as a top candidate for the 76th Alice in Dairyland. And there's so many emotions. You're nervous. You're excited. You can't wait for what's to come. But it is bittersweet now this year because I know that my experience as Alice in Dairyland this year is almost coming to a close. But there's a lot of excitement on my end, too, for these amazing group of young women to undergo this experience towards learning more about Wisconsin agriculture and becoming Alice in Dairyland.
Ashley Hagenall, that little sweetie with a smile on her face, our current Alice in Dairyland. Now, again, remember, you want to find out more about the Alice in Dairyland final activities that are going to be held in Door County. Maybe you want to secure tickets for the big event. The best way to do that is jump online, aliceindairyland.com. Coming up next, markets in overnight electronic trade. Corn and beans are holding firm, but our dairy complex is under pressure. Stephanie Hoff's going to join us with another market that we don't pay as much attention to, the hay market. While you may be looking for good quality dairy hay in Wisconsin, that's really not where the money is. She's got some details on that coming up.
Challenge. It's not something you shy from. It's a chance to up your game. Every day brings a new challenge. But with the Enhanced Channel Seed brand on your side, you can rise to it. With our top-performing seed, innovative digital tools, and expanded agronomic support, you can turn tomorrow's challenges into your next advantage. Your Enhanced Channel Seed brand. Let's rise to the challenge. Learn more at channel.com/rise. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast. Innovation, that's
BioVet. On Friday in Chicago, we saw the barrel cheese remain unchanged at 165. 40-pound block cheese was down 5.5 cents to 155. Double A butter also dropped 0.75 cents to 275.75 per pound. Now, this morning as we get started in Chicago, right now we've got that December corn contract trading up a penny at 460. November soybeans are up 3 at 1143. July new crop wheat down 3.5 at 557. April milk is unchanged at 1678. The May milk unchanged, 1722 a hundredweight. You know, it's a market we don't necessarily talk a lot about, but it's important for Wisconsin. If you own anything basically with four legs, you might be from time to time investing in hay. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service showed here in the state of Wisconsin, our hay supply is down 30% compared to a year ago. Just the opposite situation happening out west, where they've seen a hefty carryover supply bring hay prices down. Stephanie Hoff's got more.
That's the word from Josh Callen. He's a market analyst with the Hoyt Report. He covers hay markets in the seven western states of the continental U.S. He and I talked about the regional differences in hay supply and how weather in different areas of the U.S. can influence hay prices here at home.
I think for a lot of the U.S., it's probably going to be a record warm winter. And what that means is especially in some of the higher elevation states, it's been pretty limited on the snow cover. And when you have limited snow cover, you know, beef ranchers are going to feed less hay. So what we're seeing is we're seeing more carryover. Going into winter, we had an excess supply, but pretty strong supplies of middle to lower grades of alfalfa. And we were hoping that, you know, depending on what the winter did, those supplies would get cleaned up. And that just hasn't been the case. So I think we're going to come out of winter with a little extra carryover, mainly in those lower grades. And part of what that's done is it's put a big price spread in between the top and the bottom grades. And I think we're going to continue to see that going into this new year. There'll be demand for test hay, for higher quality hay for dairies, definitely. But we're definitely going to see lower demand and extra carryover for those lower grades.
On the flip side, here in Wisconsin, we are seeing hay stocks much lower than the year before due to drought. So why are we seeing this regional difference?
In the West, we're not, you know, we had that record winter 2022-2023 for the Great Basin, California. We had a really good winter. And most of our hay is irrigated. we don't see as big of an impact out here from drought conditions or things like that, just because there's most of it's irrigated. So definitely some differences there for sure.
When you talk about the carryover and haystacks and, you know, the supply looks pretty good on the Western front, are producers going to hold on to that, or are they going to be sending it to areas of the U.S. that need it? Like maybe it is Wisconsin or Minnesota, or maybe it's overseas. Where is it going to go?
The freight's always the limiting factor there, is what's it going to cost to get it moved to some of these different areas. You know, usually you'll see hay, you know, out of Colorado or maybe even Utah, eastern Idaho go east. But in other parts of the West, it's really hard to make it work with the freight difference. I think what's going to happen is we're going to have this extra carryover of these lower grades. It's just going to take longer for that supply to get worked through locally. They're going to want to probably have to lower prices a little bit more to get most of it gone. And then also it really depends on the weather. I mean, we're all hoping for a dry spring so we can get first cutting up good with, you know, high quality, high grades. The lower grades typically don't work in the export market. They're usually looking for stuff that's like a middle to higher grade. And then the export market's been pretty soft the last year, so that's been a bit of a challenge on that export side too. So no, it'll probably have to get absorbed locally, and that'll take a little bit to work through those supplies for sure.
Josh Callen along with us, a market analyst with the Hoyt Report. He covers hay markets in the 7 westernmost states of the continental U.S. He says while the hay market does vary region by region, one thing that has remained certain, small bales or horse hay is a good market to be in. You can find our full conversation at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. I'm Stephanie.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hi, I'm Maggie Dawn, host of The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays at 2 on the Civic Media Network.
And I'm Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's Southeast Wisconsin News Bureau Chief.
Stuart and I will be hosting special coverage of President Biden's State of the Union speech Thursday night at 8.
We'll of course present what the president says, the Republican response, and also talk about what it all means for you.
This will be one of the most important speeches from the president in this critical election year.
This Thursday night at 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Tune in Monday for a very special Devil's Advocates radio show. We got Chuck Quala coming in studio 4 to 6 p.m. across the Civic Media Network.
Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
This convention center in Madison runs through Thursday, about 2 o'clock on Thursday, when they'll announce the world champion cheese. If you're not going to be at the Monona Terrace Convention Center, and I'm guessing most won't be, you can still follow along on the announcement side, worldchampioncheese.org. A lot of time spent over the weekend moving more than 3,300 dairy ingredients entered from around the world down to Madison. They left the logistical staging area in Little Chute, bound for Monona Terrace Convention Center. And one of the volunteers that was very much involved in not only breaking out all those entries, getting them in the right categories, but making sure they're in good condition is Pam Hodgson. She is a master cheesemaker herself for Sartori Cheese out of Plymouth. And she's very proud of the dairy industry in Wisconsin, specifically our cheesemakers. She explains a little bit more about what you may not know regarding the master cheesemakers involved in this event.
In Wisconsin, we require our cheesemakers to be licensed, and typically that requires a two-year apprenticeship. There are some ways that a person can shorten that, but a lot of times it's 2 years. And then after that, there's a 10-year waiting period before you're even eligible to be considered for the master cheesemaker program. Once you're accepted, that's a second apprenticeship of 3 years. During that time, there's coursework. The cheeses that you wish to be certified for, they get evaluated each year to make sure that they meet the highest quality standards. And then at the very end, there's an exam, and it's take home. They give you 4 weeks. Should be fine, right? Until you see the exam. It's extensive. It's open book, but every answer needs to be footnoted. At the end of the day, mine was 28 pages single-spaced typed.
Yikes.
But you know, yes, but that's how it should be, right? Because if a person is going to be called a master, they should be able to demonstrate mastery. Mm-hmm. So it was a great experience. Glad I did it. So those were the first two cheeses. A number of years later, I recertified for two more cheeses. And there were coursework requirements, and there was an exam. But it wasn't nearly, I mean, the exam was maybe a third of the length of the first one, maybe not even. So, but it's a good program. It's great. I think it's really helped Wisconsin maintain its position as one of the best places to make cheese in the world.
Right, right. Have you ever entered any of your cheeses in the world competition?
Yes, we have 11 entries this year. We enter every year. And that's one of the reasons why I volunteer for the contest. The contests, the various contests that we enter have really helped us on a couple different levels. One, cheese making is hard work. It's a job that you have to be dedicated to every day. And, you know, maybe you could think of it as you just grind it out some days. So to keep going, usually successful cheesemakers are in love with their work. Well, we think, oh, we have something special here at Sartori. But when we enter it in a contest, well, then we get expert opinions whether it's as good as we think it is. We really value that feedback. And then the second thing where contests are really important to us at Sartori is it helps us market. Mm-hmm. Here we are, World Cheese Championship. We have over 3,300 entries from 25 countries and 32 states. The judges are both international and U.S.-based judges. If we can be successful here, that really validates and gives us something that we can promote. It's a great contest. I think it's the hardest. I know it's the hardest one that we enter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pam Hodgson along with us. She's a volunteer coordinator for the upcoming World Champion Cheese Contest. And as she just pointed out, a Wisconsin Master Cheesemaker herself at Sartori. So let's talk a little bit about what we don't know about the world competition. Namely, behind the scenes, I said there is a motherload of work that has to get done. And it's logistically challenging work. Tell me about your portion of this behind-the-scenes work, Pam.
Well, certainly there's a lot of people who make that work easy. The first step is cheesemakers will send their entries into WOW Logistics, and they have to be sorted out into classes. So each class will have a pallet, maybe two pallets of all the entries, so that when the cheeses are presented to the judges, it's in an orderly manner. So that's the work we're doing right now to get the cheeses sorted out, checked in, make sure that entries are in the class they should be and that they qualify for that class. There's a number of rules, things we have to check to make sure that it the cheese was prepared properly or entry was prepared properly. So we get it all sorted out. Semis will take that cheese down to Monona Terrace for judging next week. And then we have another set of volunteers. I'll be there as well, where we'll present the cheeses to the judges. There's always a pair. For this contest, there'll be an international judge and a domestic judge. And then when they're complete, you take the cheese back, do whatever care it needs, because one of those cheeses will be the big winner and we'll be presenting it on stage. Mm-hmm. So we want that cheese to be in its best form for the final ceremony.
Yes, and I'd say that's some pretty critical handling that has to take place that late in the event. Pam Hodgson, a master cheesemaker herself for Sartori Cheese in Plymouth, Wisconsin, one of the volunteers helping to get all 3,300 entries plus from Little Chute down to Madison and handling them every day during the World Champion Cheese event. Find out more at worldchampioncheese.org. By the way, if you're thinking about volunteering, Pam Hodgson says you better get your name in on the list early because she said they have far more volunteers than they have slots that can use them. So again, a privilege to be a part of the event. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Same time, same channel.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Bayer announces substantial expansions to its carbon program. Details ahead on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits, like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to RightSpot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Bayer is expanding its carbon program to include more territory, more crops, and more enrollment flexibility for farmers. Tyler Williams is a Bayer agronomist in Lincoln, Nebraska.
These are always learn-as-you-go type programs, but our program, we want to bring the opportunity to every possible farmer we can. And one of the ways that we do that is at least make them eligible.
The program is expanding to 28 states. That's up from 16. New eligible crops include several grasses, legumes, and pulses. Enrollment periods will be available in 5-year renewable segments. And says Williams, early adopters of eligible practices can claim credits going back to August of 2019.
It's all come back to fitting into the farmer and the farmer system. You know, if it doesn't work on the farm and doesn't work for the farmer, it's not good for anyone.
Williams says you can get more info and even sign up at bayerforground.com.
I know there's a lot of noise and things out there in the space, and a lot of growers oftentimes get confused and don't even know where to start. So our Bayer Foreground website is kind of that resource to just kind of check it out. We have our agronomy team out there that can help with the agronomy side, as well as kind of understanding these programs. What does it entail? Is it for you?
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Alba. Monday, noon to 2, we'll preview the Super Tuesday primary and more right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You need skill and a little luck to play the game of pool, and you could say one cue-making company in Wisconsin has both. Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake is the oldest pool cue maker in the U.S. and remains a family-owned, third-generation operated business. Schmelke started as a one-man shop in the 1940s. Now more than 20 employees work at the facility. So do you know which state has the most cue-making manufacturers? Is it Maryland, Minnesota, Wisconsin? The answer coming up. Pool is an old game, and the cues similar to the ones used to play today were created in the late 1600s in Northern Europe. Pool came to America in the 19th century. So did you guess which state currently has four of the top five cue manufacturers? It is Wisconsin. And Schmelke Cues in Rice Lake has also been inducted into the International Cue Makers Hall of Fame, making this a worldwide slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bar for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Green Bay's a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy where
you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.